On Edward Epson's farm, around 40 pigs are doing what lucky pigs get to do. They forage for acorns and graze in pastures high with timothy grass.
So we're going to be killing this pig here, and the other one that was walking around on this side of the electric net, it slipped out of sight for the moment, but did you see it here? Oh, there he is, yeah. These two pigs.
The two that will die in a few minutes are American Mulefoots, a rare breed known for its lard. When Epson approaches, the 250-pound pigs roll onto their backs.
He's grunting with pleasure. Oh, it's all right, boy. Yeah. He's not used to you, but he's willing to trust that you're okay if you're with me. So I quickly get him to relax here. I like to be scratched in all these different areas.
In a few minutes, Epson will kill this pig with a .22-caliber rifle. He will use the same care he shows these animals while they're alive to end their lives. And then he will harvest every usable part of the pigs.
There's no such thing as a natural death. I mean, even a natural death, so-called, is just the slow degradation of the body, right? Which involves pain and suffering, and also involves waste. It means that it means that death has no purpose or significance. Because if an animal dies a so-called natural death, they can be used by other animals in the wild, but they can't be used by us. And so if we're going to use them, we have to intervene on the process of death in a very careful way to make sure that the animal is at the peak of health, and to kill them, yes, but to kill them in such a way that we are able to preserve as much of the life of the animal as possible.
It's a very philosophical way to think about pig slaughter, which makes some sense given that Epson is a former philosophy professor. He's 32 years old and left academia in part to get back to working with his hands. He says he views agriculture as a way to express charity and give thanks, to fulfill what he calls life's moral obligations. The idea of using every part of the pig fits into that duty. It's also, of course, part of a larger movement. Chefs from Portland to Brooklyn stack menus with pork belly and sweetbreads. Epson jokes that those trends may take another decade to reach rural New Hampshire. For him, this isn't about style points.
What I think of myself as doing, and I think what a lot of people who are engaged in small-scale agriculture nowadays think of themselves as doing, is not somehow playing primitive or reenacting, you know, history the way, you know, Civil War reenactors reenact the Civil War, but just thinking of ourselves as having taken the net accounting of what the options are, just deciding that the old practices were better, and correcting the wrong course that was taken at some point in the past.
Paying close attention to feed and grazing habits, selecting breeds that forage and fatten well, he says this is just how you produce the best pork. Epson also works to limit stress among the animals. He lures over one of the American Mulefoots with a grain mixture. He takes care to line up his shot so that the bullet penetrates the thick skull, so that the death is immediate and, he hopes, painless.
And you can see how oblivious the other pig is. It's something that always surprises people when they see a slaughter for the first time. They always think the other animal is going to get really scared by the noise or by the death or just by the whole commotion. But if it's done right, if it's done well, it's peaceful enough that the other pig doesn't have any sign of stress to indicate that there's something wrong.
He bleeds the animal and then hoists it into a tank of scalding water. That's so he can remove the bristly black hair. In keeping with traditions, Epson uses only hand tools. He makes careful cuts to the carcass, collecting lard and organs.
You know, in line with everything else, I'm trying to use the knife as little as possible so that I don't slice any more meat than I have to extract the viscera here.
What was that?
That was the second testicle. So now I still need to get this guy's thing out of here.
It takes a few hours of labor to bring the mule foot from animal to meat. Kidneys, liver, brain, bacon, of course. Epson makes money by selling various cuts, along with piglets and breeding pigs, at local farmers' markets. Because of health regulations, he doesn't butcher that pork himself. Today's pig, he technically sold it to a customer while it was still alive. Then he charges $5 a pound for the processing and preparation. It's the end of Henwin Farm's first year selling meat. They've done about a dozen pigs. Kate Epson, Ed's wife, helps with packaging and other chores on the 21-acre farm. This afternoon, while putting out water, she found something in the back of the barn.
So one of the moms named Nina has just given birth to, we're not sure how many, we can go and count. This is first footage, I haven't even counted. I think it's their first nursing.
Sometime between gunshot and Ed's final cuts, Nina, an all-black sow, gave birth to 11 piglets.
No, I mean,
it just shows
you, like, they don't do this on my schedule. Like, you know, this was when she was ready. I knew she was close. I thought she was maybe a few days away still, but yeah, I don't have anything like profound to say about it, other than yeah. I mean, in a way, it's like
kind of a nice, refreshing feeling, yeah, that we had to, you know, give up one pig's life, but now we have so many more.
Yeah, I agree.
There is no time to linger on the poetics. Ed and Kate Epson have more work to do before it gets dark. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.